4. We'll be looking at verses 17 through 24. And I just appreciate you being here on Time Change Sunday. We prayed before church. Lord, help somebody to show up. Now, some of y'all have Apple clocks and watches and all that, and they automatically change. I was telling Sam and Mary last night that, or this morning that last night, having that garage sale this weekend was really a good thing because I was so stinking tired last night that I went to bed early, but when I woke up, I still was like, man, this ain't right. You know, it's dark outside, but y'all, I just want to say thank you. We have some of the best. We had fun. If you were up here, we acted goofy, and we raised about $1,900 for the Dominican, and we had fun while we did it. We got to meet our community, and that's part of what it's all about. Plus, I picked up some good stuff. You know, old John kept bringing in boxes of stuff on the final quarter of Saturday, and some of it was just awesome. But anyway, we just appreciate y'all so much, and I'm glad you're here on this Sunday when you get an hour less sleep. And this morning, I'm going to talk to you about change. One of the things that I've learned through the years is that a lot of times, those of us who are Christians, we know that we're supposed to follow Christ, but we don't understand what that really means and how that plays out in our lives. And the thing I want you to know is that Jesus didn't save you just to go to heaven. Even though he did save you to go to heaven, he didn't just save you to go to heaven. He saved you to change you. One of the first scriptures that I memorized as a growing Christian was in college, and it was 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And that the reason I didn't say it like that is I haven't memorized that translation, but it says the same thing. And I remember that as I was growing. I was excited about my faith for the first time in many years since I accepted Christ. And I memorized that verse. It was probably the second verse I memorized after John 3:16. You know, everybody had to memorize that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In other words, that old stuff, the old way of living, the longer you live as a Christ follower, that old way of living should be disappearing from your life. And the new way of living should be something that comes into your life year after year after year. And it doesn't matter if you accepted Christ as a kid or a teenager or as a senior adult or adult. You are supposed to change. And my sermon, while it has two points to it this morning, and Julie Crystal was kind enough to do the PowerPoint so Julie could pack, and Julie was like, why don't I ever get a two-point sermon? Because, you know, I'm not a two-point sermon guy. But it's not a short sermon, I hate to tell you that. It's a hard sermon. It's a little bit of a difficult sermon because I'm going to be real honest with you about this passage. And you don't understand, when I'm in my study studying, I'm having to ask God, what does this passage mean to us, including myself? And then I have to tell you what it means. You wouldn't want me to lie, would you? So I have to tell you what it means. And it's very clear. And there's a lot of good stuff here. And we just need to understand that being a Christian means you change. And you change to become more like Christ. A.W. Tozer said this, and I put this on our Facebook page. I love this quote. He says, we can know the right words, yet never be changed. You can have the Christianese language down, but never change. He says, This is the difference between information and transformation. You see, as a believer, it's not just about information. It's about transformation. And in this passage, verses 17 through 24, we're going to see the difference that Jesus should make. So beginning with verse 17, you follow along with me. It says, "With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity." Then look at verse 20. And always when you're reading Scripture, the word "but" is important. It means we're going to go to what we should be doing. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off, get rid of your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So basically, this is a two-part sermon with a lot of information. And the first one is just common sense. Paul says basically in verses 17 through 19, don't live like a lost person. Now that you should think is old news, but it's not. The Scripture says don't live the way you used to live. Has your life changed to become more like Christ since you accepted Him? Since you put your belief, have you changed? Has there been any growth? What's difference? Could you sit down and tell me the differences that Jesus has made in your life since you placed your faith in Him? Could you give me a list? You see, Paul is saying here, he's implying that you Ephesians used to be lost. And the truth is, everybody in this room used to be lost. You still may be, I don't know. But everyone in this room has a past. And you may think, well, my past wasn't that bad. Baloney. If you are a sinner, your past is bad. And the beautiful thing here is Paul is saying, it should be the past. And he's teaching us here that when we accept Christ, we change. And the simple way to figure this out is what's different in your life now? It's a very simple question. You know, unfortunately to me, and I'm going to deal with this gently and as gently as I can, and because I think the church is a little confused, and I think the lost world thinks we're angry, and we can't understand why the lost world doesn't understand how to live for Jesus. Well, they're lost. You know, and we need to be the love of Jesus to teach them how to live for Jesus, not to hate Him. Right? I find in our world today that the area we struggle the most, I'm just going to be honest, not throwing stones, but I think we struggle the most in this area when it comes to sexuality. Whether it's homosexual, extramarital, living together, all that. I think the church has struggled with this. I'm just being honest. We don't need to get, we need to help people know the truth. Because I don't think we ever, if we know Christ, thought that was the way we were supposed to live. For whatever reason, we get caught up in it and we get confused. And I want you to look at what he says. He says, you live no longer as the Gentiles do. And then he describes them. He says, for they are hopelessly confused. Hopelessly. What does that mean? Literally, it means in the text, in the Greek text, they have no purpose. They don't know why they are here. A person without Christ has no purpose because they don't believe in a God that gives them a purpose for living. They may have a purpose, but the purpose may be to do what they want to do. And what he says here, he says, for they are hopelessly confused. The English Standard Version says, in the futility of their minds. In other words, life has no meaning apart from experience. They don't know where they come from and they don't know where they're going and they don't know what the future. Let me tell you what, I'm encouraged by this virus going around. You say, what are you talking about? Well, somebody's got to be positive, right? The thing it's taught me watching the news and studying it a little bit is that people still don't want to die. Isn't that true? See, I coughed correctly just then, just in case you're wanting to know. Right, you're supposed to do. I didn't used to do that. My wife gets credit for how to cough and I...
Vampire cough.
Huh?
She
calls it the vampire cough, okay? And that I have sinus problems. So, but anyway, what I've been encouraged by is no one wants to die. And so we're depending on science to tell us how to beat this thing. The truth is, I got bad news for you. You're going to die anyway. It's just going to be something else if it's not that. And it can't teach you how to beat it, but Jesus can. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the power in the world, all the prestige in the world, and still die and go to hell because without him it's all empty, meaningless. And so Paul says, you used to live this way. Life was meaningless. And I look at people today and I look at Christians and they have no purpose. Do you know your job is not for you to make money and feed your family? That is not the point. It's to glorify Christ. Your job is a mission field. It has purpose. You say, well, I take good care of my family. That's not the point. Yeah, they got to eat. But through your job, you're on the mission field, and God has a plan for your job. It's to glorify Him. And so when Paul's describing these folks, they are so confused, and they don't know. And some of you know, and some of you don't know, but Thursday night, we talked with Julie's mom. And her mom is a godly woman. She called us, get this, to tell us that she's dying. As clear-headed as can be. She called and told us and told every one of her grandkids. And you know why? She's not confused about life. She has purpose. She knows not only where she came from, she knows where she's going. Don't live like a Gentile who doesn't know where you're coming, where you came from, or where you're going. I love this passage. It's tough. But Jesus Christ gives us purpose and meaning. And if you don't know what that purpose and meaning is, if you're a believer, you're still messed up. It's not your life. It's His life living through you. But lost people. But look what else he says about them in verse 18. He says, their minds are full of darkness. English Standard Version, they are darkened in their understanding. Full of darkness means that he or she has no spiritual perception. Have you heard the expression, in the dark? It means you don't get it. And what he is saying, what Paul is saying, is that those people who are Gentiles, which is anyone who's lost, they're in the dark. They don't get it. I can get upset because they don't understand why I think abortion's wrong. They're in the dark. You see, Paul is describing lost people who are being in the dark. They don't get it. They don't understand. They're wandering in the dark. But we studied this several months ago. As believers, we're in the what? Light. Remember that Jesus is the light of the world? We're in the light. We get it. So don't think that you can argue someone in the dark about your ethics in the light. Why? Because only Christ can make that difference. I have to remind myself that not everybody who knows Christ, and I need to get that. So what do? Shame them? No, I try to love them. And I share about the life, and I share about the truth, and I share about God's love and plan and purpose. It says in that verse 18, they wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hearts against Him. Lost people aren't close to God. Doesn't matter if they sing about it. They're not. They've closed their mind. They don't want to know the truth. There's no connection. But then he describes it. He says they have no sense of shame. They live lustfully for pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. And then it says they have, in a different translation, English Standard says, they have become calloused. You know, I used to play tennis all the time, from the time I was a little kid till I was in all through college. And the one thing I used to have were terrible calluses. You know, the nice thing about calluses, they're better than blisters. Blisters have what? Feeling? You know, and every once in a while you'd want to be gross, so you'd stick a pin through your calluses in your hand, and I had them all over it, you know, and it's, you walk around with pins in your hands, and why? It doesn't hurt. It's dead. And he describes lost people as having no sensitivity. They don't get it, people. They have no sense of shame. When you look at Mardi Gras, you see a lot of people in New Orleans. You can go to New Orleans anytime and see it, actually, because I've been there more than once. They have no shame. And don't get upset. They either are a Christian who is so messed up that they're callous to what they should be doing, or they're lost as Cooter Brown. And they don't care. They have no sense, and they eagerly live and pursue impurity, all kinds. Lost people lose sensitivity and become callous to spiritual things. And I believe Christians can lose sensitivity and become callous to spiritual things too. Not to the degree that a lost person can, but as we all know, we use the word, I don't like it, backslidden. No, what we do is we become insensitive to God's plan for our life and what He wants.